Talking today with Mike Thralls from the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. Mike, you're getting ready to hang it up here at the Conservation Commission. You've got quite a few years under your belt, and you've seen some changes as far as conservation efforts in our state, and there's been some remarkable success along the way as well when it comes to trying to clean up our water in our state and just do a good job as far as being stewards of the resources we have. You know, kind of reflect with me a little bit about some things you think have gone right here at the commission.
Well, you know, there's kind of three legs on the stool that we like to talk about. Flood control is a big, big issue for us, one that is not readily recognizable. But it delivers $85 million worth of benefits every year from an infrastructure that's worth $2 billion. It's big business. And when Hurricane Erin settled into the state, that $85 million, that swelled over $300 million of loss that we didn't suffer the state because of that tremendous infrastructure of dams. And as you say, we deal with overabundance of water, but then, you know, we want to do everything we can to protect the water resources that we have, whether it's for drinking water or for recreation or for any type of use. It's very important we have clean water. It's important for our economy. It's important for industry. Personally, I mean, you know, when I go to the tap, drink a glass of water, I want to know that it's safe and that it's healthy, and so does anybody that wants to come to this state. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very water, as you well know, I mean, it's the big issue that's mm-hmm. out there right now and will be for years to come. So we've had some considerable success showing that with voluntary conservation practices and the application of those practices to a particular watershed where you've got a problem, you can change that stream. And you can take it off of that 303D 30-stream list that EPA keeps, mm-hmm. and we've taken 45 off. Now, it might be in an area where the Conservation Commission had a priority watershed project, or it might be where NRCS had a local emphasis area. In fact, is most of them are that. And it's just that we have a tremendous monitoring system put in place, actually, just as I was getting here, mm-hmm. Where we look at hundreds of streams in a rotating fashion, 2 years out of five, and gauge, you know, what's the condition of that stream. So we've had, like I said, 45 of them removed off the 303D list, and we'll do 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 each year as we continue to pick up those very, very positive things. Farmers are natural stewards. They, for the most part, they value that land. They want it better for their kids than they got it. And they want to do the right thing, especially if we can show them that it won't negatively impact their bottom line. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been able to do. And I'm very pleased with that.
You mentioned the dam control. It seems like that you've got a pretty dedicated partner that you've been able to work with at the federal level in Congressman Lucas, and obviously this last farm bill, we saw some real harvesting of some resources there.
What a champion! I mean, the farmers can say he's a champion for them, but for flood control, a young man that grew up in Roger Mills County and heard the stories of that record flood that went through and killed 17 folks overnight. Mm-hmm. He heard those stories, and some of the pioneers of the flood control program came from his part of the state. Mm-hmm. And he knew and he understood what you could do, how you could change mm-hmm. a community. In Oklahoma, we're just prone to crazy weather.
Yeah.
We'll have droughts, and you can follow that with a flood. That Hammond flood was in 1934 in the middle of a drought. And port dropped out 17 inches of water, or in some places 20 inches overnight, flooded people, washed away people and animals. It was in the millions of dollars in 1934 dollars.
Right.
the damage that that thing caused. And that was repeated. Chickasha had huge flooding issues, many towns across the state, and that small upstream watershed program that was initiated first as a pilot project and then under President Eisenhower. I always like to think that or remember how Oklahomans went up and met with the president, and that led to the adoption of the most recent program that would allow more dams to be built. We've got 300 still in the drawer that could be built if we had the funds. But the congressman provided us a huge amount of money to we're going to do 14 dams in Oklahoma, rehab them, get them. What has happened is you have dams that were built to a low hazard standard, and people who didn't know how it used to flood build below them.
Right.
And so now they're high hazard dams, and we have to upgrade those dams.
Let's talk a little bit about water quality as far as some of the more recent things. It seems like almost on a year-by-year basis, Conservation Commission, along with the National Oklahoma Association of Conservation Districts, NRCS work, and in a lot of cases you've used resources from EPA, they've all come together to really make some real differences. And I know some of those eastern Oklahoma streams we've done some remarkable things with.
Yeah, eastern, and actually those streams are pretty well scattered across the state, even western Oklahoma. It's interesting to hear our monitoring crew said it was too wet to monitor in southwest Oklahoma a little bit earlier this year. We actually had too much water flowing in southwest Oklahoma. But, yes, I think here at the commission, as you look at what people do and agencies do, a lot of times folks will make a career out of saying what's wrong. This is wrong. Here at the commission, I think we pride ourselves in being able to define a problem and then being able to say, here's how we fix that problem. And we can do it voluntarily, and we can do it through a conservation district. Those districts are critically important. You've got five local guys or gals that represent that community who are our natural stewards of the land and early adapters, and that's the leadership that makes us successful. So we've been able to – part of the function of the commission is to not try to be claim all the glory or however you want to put it, but really take lots of different folks and put together a partnership that can address a problem. As far as EPA, I mean, this is the 319 program. EPA is a pretty good success for us here in Oklahoma. And, EPA in general doesn't are maybe a little more reluctant. And in general, EPA is a regulatory agency, but we've had good success working with EPA. They funded this monitoring program that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's important about, I mean, they sign off on that monitoring program. So whenever we publish results, it's backed up by an EPA certified monitoring program. No one questions those results. They're real.
Right. One thing that I noticed as I walked in, movie poster for the Dust Bowl. And, you know, that's kind of where a lot of our conservation efforts kind of can be traced from, is that dirt in the air in the late 20s, 30s. And a lot of the things that this commission was has always been a part of has been trying to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Well, that's true. You know, we follow in the footsteps of pioneers, of great folks. There were great directors prior to the time I got here. I hope I did my job while I was here. That Dust Bowl series was a great event. That was inspired. Clay Pope had a lot to do with working with Channel 13 to get that together. And Ben Pollard on our staff worked hand in hand. They got Emmys for that effort. Pretty amazing. Both Ben and Clay. And the attendance that we had was remarkable. just really, we'd have from 150 to 200 people every time we would go somewhere. We went to Woodward, and we went southwest Oklahoma, and then Stillwater and Tulsa. We had six or seven locations, and people were interested. Of course, the writing of the book, and I can't call his name right now, but he did us a great service. And then that series that was on Channel 13 on the Dust Bowl, quite remarkable. And one of the ladies that was in the movie went with us on all of those occasions, and that made it real to folks. And you could hear the heart. We don't ever want this to happen again.
Right.
Remember. You know, each generation, we have short memories.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one reason the Lord says you need to be in church every week. Because we don't remember real well.
Yeah.
And it's difficult if you never. We face the same problem with the flood control program.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it, I mean, when I was going to school, boy, we were looking for that 5-inch rain so that we didn't have to go to school because Red Rock Creek flooded. And we get to stay home for a day or two till the water went down. That didn't happen anymore. We got all those. We don't quite have that project completed, but we've got enough completed. Henry Bellman helped us build the last project while he was still here on Red Rock Creek to help prevent flooding of I-35. And we've still got more to build, but the ones that are there, they do their job. I think Clay coined the term silent sentinels. And it's truly reflective of what they do.
Right. One other area I thought we might talk about is the educational efforts of the commission in cooperation with the rest of the conservation community. And I just kind of point to the National Land Range Judging Contest. That's been part of the heritage of this commission and a lot of other good folks here in the state. And it seems like we've sure gotten a lot of folks willing to work hard to learn how to you know, read the soil and read the land a little more accurately about it, you know, how it can be used and how it can be taken care of.
Well, it has been. That's a 50-year effort of having that National Range and Land Judging Contest here in the state, and we've got volunteers from conservation districts across the state that make that happen, as well as the Chamber of Commerce here in the and the folks in Oklahoma City who provide a lot of support. But that's one of our efforts, what we do with Blue Thumb across the state in terms of just helping folks in the community understand what that stream is, what the characteristics are about it, what you look forward to see, a healthy stream. That's good. And then Carla Beatty heads up the environmental education efforts of the state. Now, she chairs, the Conservation Commission chairs those efforts. So, But, you know, as we look at it, it seems like we never can do enough. and there's lots of voices out there.
Right.
So we've got some new folks and, you know, we're launching into Facebook and Twitter and all those things that kind of go over my head, but I got folks that know what that is and they can do it.
Right. You know, as you think about maybe some advice, I'm sure some folks have asked you, you know, what needs to be done? What's still out there that you need to keep working on or maybe still looking for the resources to accomplish that next little project? What's out there that you really see this commission charged with doing in the days ahead?
Well, the flood control issues will never go away.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to properly maintain those dams. They may be able to serve us for 200 or 300 years. Nobody really knows, but they're well built. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you that. I think one of the things that's out there that still represents a huge challenge is soil health.
Mm-hmm.
We've farmed the organic matter out of our soils. If you're conventional farming, you don't have much organic matter left. And the idea of cover crops and where that's appropriate and how that works and how we can build back in that natural tilth to the soil is incredibly important. And it'll, you know, it's like at least a 2 or 3 inch rain. I mean, that's a conservative estimate. But you could look at our rainfall simulator and as they go get soil from a pasture and then go get it from a forest and they'll go get it from a no-till field and then they'll get a conventional till. And you do a hard rain on it, inch and a half in about 30 minutes, and that conventional till soil just seals over. And you don't think that does not compute. I always thought I worked the soil so the water would go in. That's not what happens. If you've got a soil that's just there, that's got good earthworm activity, that's got some humus in it, that's properly cared for, it'll soak water up like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
You just can't believe it until you see it. And folks, we just got to keep selling that message. It's hard to change something that you've done for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Pope and I changed together about 8 years ago after a lifelong effort of tilling.
Yeah.
And I'll never go back, assuming chemicals can stay ahead, you know, and our technology can keep us ahead of having to go back and put steel in the ground.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what that whole concept of no-till conservation tillage, minimum tillage, that has been so valuable to this part of the world.
Well, just our extremes in weather. You may get a 5-inch rain tomorrow. I mean, Beaver got a big rain.
Mm-hmm.
Cimarron County's been getting some big rain. So places that get an average of 12 inches a year are, and Roger Mills County, they're still susceptible to have those huge rains. When Hurricane Aaron came through, that flat land out in Kingfisher County washed down to as deep as they had cultivated it. So if you'd plowed 8 inches deep, you lost 8 inches of soil. And that changed many people.
Mm-hmm.
That changed their mind right there. And then wind erosion.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the winds we've had this past year. Whether you say, you know, it's climate change or whatever you say, we're in a cycle of extreme weather.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had record-setting winds, and record-setting temperatures in these last 2, 3, 4 years that boggles your mind. And drought. I mean, huge drought.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'd cleaned-tilled this state like we were in the 20s and 30s, we'd have blown away again.